Welcome to Radioactive Youth Media's podcast. I'm Julia Furukawa.
And I'm Jack Paradise. Radioactive is a program through KUOW, Seattle's NPR affiliate. Today, we decided to cover an increasing trend in housing, going tiny.
The average American family is the smallest it's ever been since the 1970s. But the average family home continues to grow in square footage every year. While some keep building up and out, others are doing quite the opposite.
The tiny house movement promotes downsizing, living sustainably, using fewer resources, and spending less money. After looking at pictures of tiny houses, the idea still seemed like somewhat of a novelty, but many people actually live in them full-time. We wanted to ask some strangers what their initial reactions to tiny houses were to get some more perspective.
Too small, just not enough space for living, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Could say I sort of have, but I'd say no.
I just have a lot of outdoor gear, but it would be fine. I would just tie it to the roof.
I mean, obviously it reduces some of the comforts that you get in a full-size house, but I'm actually looking right now at buying a 40-acre stretch of land with a 200-square-foot cabin on it, so it's about the same thing.
More cabinet space and shelving. Like, that's all I would need. Maybe if the walls were all shelving.
Kitchen and dining area.
If I lived there, cable.
Wi-Fi.
Since both of us live in conventional single-family homes, we decided to ask some people with more experience living small. We talked to Ross Beck, a representative from the Tumbleweed Tiny House Company, based in Colorado Springs.
Since many of the tiny houses we found information on were built by hand by the owners, we asked Ross what Tumbleweed's role in the tiny house community is.
Actually, we started off way back around 2001, that the founder had built two of these little tiny houses just for himself, and everybody thought it was kind of cool. So he wrote a book called The Small House Book, and media loved it because it was contrary to the McMansions and stuff. And so people wanted to buy the book, and then, well, can I get a copy of your house plans? Well, okay, sure. So then we had two or three house plans, and then people said, well, I really don't know how to build, so, you know, could you give it like a workshop? So, okay, so we did maybe five or six workshops a year with about 25 people. Well, that was over 10 years ago. Now we average probably 80 people up to 100 in our 33 workshops, and we provide 23 do-it-yourself building plans. We have a construction DVD so that you can have reference information on how to use tools and materials. We also build what's called a partial build, a barn raiser. So we'll do the heavy construction. We'll prepare all the trailer. We'll build all the walls. We'll put on the roof if you want. We'll put in the windows if you want. And then you can finish it out. And we do complete builds.
Ross says tiny houses are especially popular with young people. There are many different reasons why they make the decision to go small.
Taking care of your own financial future, having more flexibility because your job is going to change a lot and you're going to be mobile, wanting to help the environment by having a smaller carbon footprint. And frankly, when they take vacations, they take an Uber, they hop on a plane, they go stay in an Airbnb, and they rent out their tiny house on Airbnb while they're gone. So they're still making an income as they're traveling, and they're probably writing a blog to underwrite the desserts. So I think tiny houses are going to continue to grow in interest because I don't see housing costs going down, and this generation looks at the world differently.
Besides the financial and environmental benefits, Ross says going small has other personal benefits.
So much more free time, and it actually allowed me to publish a book that I've been wanting to do for years. Because, well, when you're sitting in a tiny house, you can clean, do the dishes, and everything else without really moving more than about six steps. And it just really gave me a lot of focus for what I value and how I want to spend my time.
Do you think you could live in a tiny house, Jack?
I mean, if I was forced. Well, yes, I could live in a tiny house.
Okay, well, I mean, you make it sound really bad. Like, would you want to? I mean, like,
I'd probably want to build my own tiny house because that'd be more satisfying.
Blood, sweat, and tears.
But honestly, I'd probably just buy one.
I don't know. I think it just makes sense.
I would want like a nice kind of maybe secluded plot of land. Like maybe a tiny-ass community.
Where no one can hear the people scream?
Yeah. Do you see living in a tiny home as like reducing your carbon footprint, or do you see it as like a fashion thing? Or
I mean, I looked some up that were like so ugly. They were like these gothic, like a gingerbread house ones. Literally so bad. But like, I don't know. I think I would see it as a carbon footprint thing because like there's so much space in my house that my family just doesn't use.
You don't use the billiard room anymore.
Well, on Friday nights.
On the pala.
I love the outdoors, and I think like sometimes I just lose time because it's like it's so easy to just sit at home on my bed or like. But I think that like the tiny house is, it just like is an excuse or it's provides a reason for people to like go other places. Plus, you can move it.
Well, so. I feel sad for you that you need a tiny house to make you get out of the house.
Thank you, Jack.
Some tiny house dwellers are also managing to make money off their houses. Ross said many tiny house owners will put their homes on online services like Airbnb when they go on vacation. But Brittany Yunker from Olympia, Washington has made it a full-time job.
I teach workshops with the Tumbleweed Tiny House Company. And about 5 years ago, I built my own tiny house. And since then, have just continued to love tiny houses and have actually now turned my tiny house into a vacation rental for people that are interested in trying on a tiny house for size and seeing what it feels like to live in 165 square feet.
And even though Brittany doesn't live in the tiny house anymore, she says she's happy with what she can do with it.
You know, I think some people stay in the tiny house just out of curiosity. To see what it's like. They might have seen a TV show about tiny houses or a documentary and kind of like a marvel or something just to see for yourself. But other people truly have the intention of building their own tiny house or, you know, downsizing into a tiny home. And, you know, they want to experience what it really feels like to sleep in a tiny house, to cook breakfast in a tiny house by yourself or with your partner. And some people stay at my house and have since sent me, you know, photos of their own tiny house that they've gone on to build or, you know, follow up with their blog. And to be quite honest, some people stay in the tiny house and they love the experience of staying there for the weekend. But by the end of the weekend, they've realized that it is too small for them. If I can be that, you know, that help them with that realization that maybe a tiny house isn't for you, but, you know, if I can somehow change their mind into helping them to realize that maybe they don't need such a big space that they're living in now and that maybe a tiny house isn't for them, but something in between could work. So I feel like, you know, why not try on a tiny house for size for a couple of days before truly jumping in and, you know, doing something without checking it out first.
Not all tiny home dwellers live in these small quarters by choice. Others do it out of necessity. In Olympia, Washington, tiny homes service the homeless community that is transitioning out of homelessness and into more permanent residences. Quixote Village is a self-governed community of 30 tiny houses, funded in part by the Panza Foundation. Each home is 144 square feet, and residents use a communal kitchen and dining area.
Since it was created, this place opened in December 24th, 2013. That's when 29 people moved in here.
We were lucky enough to talk to a resident, Jimmy B. He said the opportunity to live in one of Quixote Village's tiny houses has been a life changer for him.
They each come with a bed, a table, a little chair, and then there's a bathroom with a toilet and a sink and a closet. And then the showers are here in the common area. There's four or five showers, three showers and a bathtub. And then there's two bathrooms up here. And those are for staff also and guests and whatnot. And then there's a laundry room over here. And then this room is our food pantry area. Everyone has a little area that they can lock. A lot of people have use this to get clean and beat their addictions or get into recovery, go to school, get jobs. A lot of people have, you know, climbing out of homelessness, you know, and sometimes it takes a while, you know. From what I know and my experience is, it's got me off of drugs. I just quit smoking. This is my 14th day of no cigarettes. I've done that. I got a job a couple weeks ago. It just helped me get on my feet. Once I had a place to put my head every night and rest my head, a place to clean my laundry, store my food, and prepare my food, my other worry, those were all worries I had every day. Every day you struggle walking downtown and whatever and trying to numb it with drugs or whatever. But I just realized that that's a dead end. That's a death. And so this place has taught me that if it doesn't nourish my soul, I try to not even go toward it.
It seems that tiny living provides a solution to many housing problems, whether it's homelessness, cost, or environmental concerns.
See, I told you. Come on, we can build one.
Thanks to Ross Beck, Brittany Yunker, and Jimmy for their interviews. And special thanks to our editor, Kendra Hanna.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you can like us on Facebook at Radioactive Youth Media, or find us on Twitter at KUOW Radioactive. Subscribe wherever you download your podcasts. We'll be right back.